The question was asked in the beginning of the book of Shmuel. The Navi describes the two wives of Elkanah. Elkanah is the leader of the time. He is the prophet of the time. He is a very big tzaddik, the descendant of Korach, and the father of Shmuel, ultimately. And his one wife, Penina, has 10 children. And his second wife, Hana, has no children. And Penina torments Hana, as the verse says in Shmuel, V'chiasata tzarata gam kas. The other wife, afflicted her more and more, ba'avur ha-re'ima, which can be understood as in order to upset her, to get her riled up, or it can be understood as in order to get her riled up in her prayer towards heaven. And our sages teach us that Penina had positive intentions. Her intentions were to affect Hana so that her prayers would actually break through in heaven. And so the question is, why did she need to do that? So I want us to notice two sides to the story. The more natural side for us to notice is in Hannah's song, Hannah says, Ad akara yaleda shiv'a. It's reached a point where I, the barren woman, have given birth to 7 children. V'rabat banim umlala. And the other wife, Penina, who had so many children, is now miserable because her children have died. All her children but 2. Every time Hannah would get pregnant, she'd give birth, Penina would lose 2 children. Until it reached the final child, where Penina had 2 children left, and she came to Hannah and begged her, pray my children shouldn't die. And then Hannah prayed, and Penina's last 2 children did not die. So the first thing we notice is that Penina was very harshly punished for what she did. And we can understand that the greatest intentions, but nonetheless, she afflicted a very pious woman. One of the 7 prophetesses, she afflicted the other wife. So the most natural thing for us to notice is, look at how Penina was punished, right? But let's also notice another side of the coin. Fact of the matter is that Hana did not have children. And fact of the matter is that it was only after Penina tormented her that she went into the temple and poured her heart out and merited to have a child. So you can't say that what Penina did not work. The Navi clearly describes, Elkanah tries to comfort her. Hallo ani tov lach, I'm better for you than 10 children. Masarabanim. From there we derive that Penina had 10 children. And Hana gets up, uvachot tivkeh, and she's upset. And when Eli the priest comes to talk to her, what does she say? Al titenet amatcha lifnei bat belial, ki mirov sihi vecha'asi dibarti adena. I spoke this way because the other wife made me so upset. So you see, the fact of the matter is that it was Penina's doing that got Hana to pray the way she did. So we have to notice both sides of the coin. On the one hand, Penina gets punished. So in heaven they say what you did was wrong. On the other hand, Penina was successful. You could look at both sides of the coin. So if the prophet wouldn't stump us with these two sides of the coin, we'd be very comfortable taking the side that, oh, Penina was punished, you shouldn't do that to someone else. What kind of idea is this, tormenting someone to get them to pray better? What's it your business? And that side of the coin is true. But it's not so simple. Meaning the Navi does clearly show us that all the years Hana did not have children. And it was only when she reached that breaking point where she turned to heavens and she poured her heart out and she reached a point where she was able to move things in heaven. And I think that we have to notice that side too. And our sages tell us, it says in the verse in Proverbs, Matzref lakesef, you use a certain type of cauldron to purify silver. Vichur, and you use another type of cauldron called the kur, lazahav, to purify gold. Ve'ish, and how do you purify a person? Lefi ma'alalo. Every person according to their challenges in life. Every person is given challenges that make them grow. Now that means that we do grow from challenges. That doesn't give us a right to challenge other people. That doesn't mean we can make their life difficult, even if our intention is to help them grow. And nonetheless, Pnina, on her level, she correctly analyzed that Chana, with this extra push, would succeed in her prayers. She was correct on that, it seems, from the prophet. And she succeeded in what she did. Nonetheless, she's held accountable. Now, whenever we read such stories, we have a very big limitation. We only know to gauge other people based on who we are, based on our own experiences. And if we were ever to do something as vile as the Navi describes, Pnina doing to Chana, we wouldn't be able to have really pure intentions. We could only do one or the other. We wouldn't be able to torment someone and, I have a mind that's going to be good for them. I really want it to be good for them. We have that, you know, we were at a meeting a few weeks ago, and there was someone there who was trying to help me at the meeting, but he didn't want anyone to know he was helping me. So at one point during the meeting, he made fun of me. And he came to me the next day and he says, you know, I only made fun of you so no one would catch on that I was trying to help you at that meeting. I said, I know, but I also know that you enjoyed making fun of me. So he said, that's true. I said, you were enjoying it too much. So that's, you know, that's the two sides. We have a very hard time, even when we do something, even when we might be doing it for the right intentions, we wouldn't be able to do it like Pnina. And our sages tell us that Pnina, and the wording of the Talmud is Pnina v'Satan nitkavnu l'shem shamay. Pnina and Satan both have positive intentions. Notice how our sages put her together with someone not so positive, right? Someone we don't like too much. The Talmud does put them together, but the Talmud is telling us that Satan, when he afflicted Eov, also had positive intentions. So sometimes we can have a situation where the most painful thing is being done and the best intentions are there, and our limiting factor is that we can't imagine ever doing something with such pure intentions. We can't, because we're not there. We're not there. When was the last time we really, really cared about someone? Rosh Hashanah was just here. How many people prayed about someone that they should have children this year? And if we prayed, how focused were we? And if we were focused, how much energy did we put into it? And how many times did we discuss it with our Creator? We have people all around us that need our prayers. Do we ever care enough to really invest, to pour our heart out for someone else? You know, they say about the Rebbe in Beit Vegan, the Rebbe, the Amshin of a Rebbe, that when someone comes and tells him his problems, the Rebbe is capable of crying more than the person himself. He hears the person's troubles and he's so bothered that he'll cry more than the person who's afflicted. That's when a person cares. I once saw the Amshin of a Rebbe once or twice on the street. So if you want a picture of who the Amshin of a Rebbe is, when he davens his we had a student here, David Gabler, went to him once to daven by him and see his lighting of Hanukkah candles. So everyone knows his prayer takes a long time. So you say your Shema very, very slowly because you know his is going to take very slow. And after about 20 minutes that you took saying your Shema, Yisrael, you go slowly, slowly till you reach the end of Shema, because you know it's going to take time. And you said all of Shema slowly and focused on every word, and you reach there, Echod, you reach the end, Hashem Elokechem Emes, and you wait another 5-10 minutes, and suddenly you hear him saying, Yisrael. True story, I wasn't there, but so his prayer is known that it takes a long, long time. Very long time. But I saw him on the streets once, and his Hasidim were with him. He was coming from a simchat, like
20 chassidim, and they're all trailing behind him, because when he walks in the street, he flies. He's like walking, he has no time. He spends his time dedicated to learning, but you know, he has no heirs. He's not interested in anyone honoring him or anything. When he goes, he moves, you know, not like an old man. You see an old man, and he's running, literally running. The chassidim are running to keep up with him. I once dated a girl who told me she used to ask the Amishnav Rebbe questions. I don't know, again, I saw him once or twice in my life. But she told me this, that in his house he fixes everything. He doesn't bring a fix-it guy. He takes out the screwdriver, he takes out the hammer, he fixes everything. Like, okay, special people in the world, yeah? So that's what they say about the Amishnav Rebbe, that that's how much he cares. So when we read about Pnina, it's not natural to us, because we don't have that feeling. But we have to notice both sides of the coin. On the one hand, there was truth to what she did, and you see she succeeded. On the other hand, she got punished. It's not the way we think. You know, we automatically say that was too cruel, that was just wrong. And our sages are telling us that there was a nuance where it was wrong. It wasn't completely wrong. Saying we have to notice that, and it's really, it doesn't resonate with us because we're not there. I'm saying it just doesn't resonate with us. I'll tell you a story that they say, true story, of two kids from the old city who were fighting with one another, and one kid got so upset at the other kid, he said to him, "You should eat a candy without making a blessing." You know, we hear that story and we look at that and like, huh? We don't understand that. Like, we're not there, right? We're just not there. Okay. So there are people who are where we aren't. And we read these stories and like, okay, fine. What can I say? And I'm saying the same thing with Pnina. Notice that she was right. Notice that then she succeeded. Elkanah didn't succeed. Hannah didn't succeed. Hannah only succeeded after she tormented her, and that's bothersome to us. It doesn't sit well with us. Yeah, on our level, it shouldn't sit well with us. But there is a different level in the world, and even there, she made a mistake. But I'm just saying, it's not where we're holding. Her mistake was on a totally different level. Yeah, her care for Hannah was to the point where she could make such a mistake. We don't understand that. Like, to us, it's either this or that. You care for the person so much that you can make such a mistake, we don't get it. I agree that we don't. I say we. I mean me and you. I'm not saying it politely. I don't either understand it. But conceptually, I hear that there are bigger people than me. That's, so, I